For most California voters, the trip to the ballot box this November looked much like it always has, albeit with longer lines at some polling places and a record number of vote-by-mail ballots. But the biggest changes actually took place behind the scenes, as this month's election was the state's first under new district maps drawn by the Citizens Redistricting Commission and the first complete cycle under the state's new Top 2 Elections Law. So exactly what effect did those reforms have on election results across the state? Eric McGee, a policy fellow with the Nonpartisan Public Policy Institute of California, says the biggest change was in the number of close outcomes.
There were a lot more of those races this time around than we had seen over the previous five election cycles.
In 2012, 18% of races between candidates of opposing parties were decided by a margin of less than 10 points. That's over double the average from elections over the past decade. And in the 28 races where candidates from the same party faced each other in the general election, 27 took place in districts which had not seen competitive races in the past.
The same party races was a real innovation. I don't think anybody knew quite what to expect out of those. And they made for competitive contests in districts where you just simply would not have had one in the past, where the number of competitive races would have been zero in the fall election. And now it was a third of those races were competitive by that standard.
Kim Alexander, president and founder of the California Voter Foundation, says the new process made the June primary more competitive as well.
Those candidates that made it into the top two and got onto the ballot in the general fought very hard in the primary to get there. And many of them found themselves appealing to voters from other parties and independent voters in order to secure a place on the ballot for fall. So I do think that we saw this election year more in June than in November. We saw candidates reaching out across the aisles, trying to get supporters that they normally wouldn't be courting to back their candidacy.
She says that the new primary system, combined with new district maps, also made life more difficult for incumbents, especially those in districts that lean heavily towards one party.
I mean, it used to be that if you didn't like the incumbent of your party who was representing you in Congress or in the legislature, you had to wait till that person retired or was term limited out of their seat to actually do anything about it, to run yourself or to find someone to run against them. And now because of the top two, I would argue that, you know, people don't have to wait anymore. They can actually challenge a sitting incumbent in the primary, and we saw a lot of that happen this year.
Still, incumbents had a pretty good track record, with just three losses in the Assembly, none in the state Senate, and seven in the U.S. House. Voters ushered in this new era in California politics back in 2010, when Proposition 14 became law with 53% of the vote. Before this election cycle, each party would field its own candidate in the November general election. This year, voters in the primary got to choose from a long list of candidates from multiple parties, and only the top two went on to the general election. Supporters claimed it would not only lead to more competitive races, but also would bring out more moderate candidates.
One of the primary goals that people had for these reforms was to elect more moderates to office, people who would be willing to cross party lines to get things done and solve the problems facing the state and the nation. And I think it's just too early still to say whether that has happened.
Opponents, however, claim the top two primary system also hurts voter choice and helps to reinforce the two dominant political parties. Many of California's smaller parties are concerned that their candidates might never stand a chance of making it to the top two under the current system. And even in the primary, voters face a different dilemma.
The primary voting system, when you have five Republicans and four Democrats and three Libertarians and four Greens and two this and four that, the dynamic is even harder for us to get our true vote there than it is otherwise because of the lesser of evil dynamic.
That's Michael Feinstein, spokesperson for the Green Party of California.
If you're somebody who thinks green but is concerned that the greenest Democrat make it into the November runoff of the only top two, then there's even less incentive for you to vote green there than it is in the general election.
Keith Smith, an assistant professor of political science at the University of the Pacific, agrees that the system hurts voter choice and reinforces the two-party system. He says that while other countries that have tried the top two system have seen it lead to the growth of multiple parties,
That's true, except when you switch from a system that has a strong two-party system like we've had in California, like we have in California, with two dominant political parties, that stays when you make the change.
And even supporters like Alexander note that opponents of Prop 14, who claim the law would lead to more expensive elections, were proved correct.
And so that is definitely one of the byproducts that you get when you have more competition. So, you know, on the one hand, people think, well, competition is a good thing. We need more of it. On the other hand, they say, wow, this is costing a lot of money to have all these competitive races up and down the state. You know, who's paying for all this and what are we going to owe them down the line? And that's a very fair concern.
So what does the future hold? Kim Alexander says she thinks the major parties and candidates may adapt to the new system.
You know, one thing that we saw a few instances of this election were candidates who wanted to get in the top two, were eyeing the other candidates in the race, saw someone who they thought was a threat to them, and ended up pushing a different candidate successfully and pushed their leading opponent out altogether. So you do see this kind of monkeying around in the primaries. I think more of that may go on, where you've got candidates not only pushing their own candidacy, but also promoting another candidate who may be weaker's candidacy, so that they have a weaker opponent in the general.
But despite the changes, in some ways, the future may be more of the same. The average margin of victory for incumbents in the November election was 33%, about the same as the average over the past 10 years. And even in contests between candidates of the same party, the candidate who won the party's official endorsement most often won at the ballot box as well. As for the theory that the top two system may lead to more moderates in office, Professor Smith says that as long as powerful interest groups, labor on the left and anti-tax groups on the right, retain their influence, little is likely to change.
Maybe the parties moderate a little bit, but I don't see them moderating their positions that much, and I certainly don't see the affiliated groups moderating their positions in a way that would get us different kinds of candidates running for office.
And McGee says in other states that have tried this sort of election reform, the long-term results aren't all that dramatically different.
And if you look at how these kinds of reforms have played out in other states in the past, they haven't had a huge impact. They've had maybe a very small, on-the-margins kind of impact.
He says the bigger change in Sacramento in the near future may actually be much more old-fashioned in the form of the supermajority that Democrats now hold in the legislature.
How does that change the political dynamic? Is this going to embolden Democrats to be more radical in some sense, or is it going to make some of the key votes that are necessary for any kind of two-thirds type decision, any of those Democratic votes, more cautious and more sort of moderate as a result? We just don't know the answer to that, but it definitely muddies the waters in terms of evaluating the impact of these reforms.
For Valley Public Radio, I'm Joe Moore.